Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Church say amen again.
Amen.
And one more time for the Holy Spirit. God bless you and God keep you is our prayer. We thank the Lord for what has already transpired in the worship today. We thank God for Zion songs. We thank God for fervency of prayer. And now we want to preach his word. We invite you to stand to your feet and turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 14. And I want to read in that chapter verses 1 through 14. Say amen when you've located the text. In the name of Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. And then 1st, 2nd Corinthians and so forth and so on. Romans chapter number 14. Verses 1 through 13. Say amen. We've located it. Amen. There in the word of God, you will read and find these words written. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be able to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he who gives thanks, and he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. Here ends the reading of God's divine and eternal word. May edify and may sanctify the people of God. I would that you pray with me, beloved, on the title of today's sermon. My brother, my neighbor's keeper, not his judge. Amen. My neighbor's keeper, not their judge. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will indeed be acceptable in your holy and divine eyesight. But not only mine, I pray that all of our meditations, O God, and all of our thoughts will be acceptable in your eyesight. Help us, God, to receive your word today. Let not your word return void, but may it accomplish that which you intended for it to accomplish. May hearts be encouraged. May minds be illuminated. May souls be convicted, I pray. And I ask, O God, for the anointing of the Holy Ghost to continue to fall fresh in this place. We love you, God. We thank you. We bless you. We give you glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Let the saints of God, the redeemed of the Lord, say together, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Blessed you also may be seated. To God be the glory. I want to do a two-part sermon series today. The one today, tomorrow, next week, Sunday, if the Lord spares our lives, it will be the second part. And today I want to use the occasion of what we will celebrate on next weekend. This coming weekend, we will celebrate a great man of God by the name of the late Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. We will commemorate his life. We will give God glory for his ministry. And we will certainly continue to lift up the name of the Lord because of the great work that he has done in the name of Jesus. And so I simply want to say and do a little bit of a commercial that on this next Sunday, next weekend, there are two events that will take place to commemorate the late Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. One will be a celebration sponsored by the New Jersey State Martin Luther King Commission that will be next Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock at the State Museum on West State Street. All are invited to celebrate with them and with us. I'm honored that they have invited me to be their speaker at the Martin Luther King commemoration, state commemoration service next Sunday at 3. We have an installation service at 5 next Sunday, but this will be between 11 o'clock and that service at 3. All are invited. We hope that as many of you can come. That's a free event. They do want you to go on the line and register if you expect to come, just to have some sense of the numbers. But it's free. The next day, Monday, the 20th of January, the Sisters of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated will be hosting their annual commemoration breakfast for the late Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. That will be at the Westin Hotel near Forestal Village on Route 1. That will be Monday morning, the 20th of January at 9 o'clock a.m. I'm honored that the Sisters of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated have invited me to be their keynote speaker as well for their annual breakfast. I did it once, I think, back in 2000, 2001. And so some 13, 14 years later, I'm honored that they have invited me again to do that. And so we invite you to each of those celebrations and so many others that are in this area, in the city of Trenton, Mercer County, in the region, to celebrate a great man's life. And the life that we're celebrating is a man that really challenged us on how to live the principles of God in relationship to each other. There is to be argued in the Bible that much of the Bible can be narrowed to two great commandments. Jesus said it himself in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, 38, and 39. Jesus, and when asked, what's the greatest commandment? A Pharisee tried to trick Jesus and says, can you give me the greatest commandments? One, is the 10th commandment any greater than the first commandment? Are the commandments in Leviticus any greater than the ones in Deuteronomy? Jesus says, the greatest commandment is that you would love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy being, all thy soul. He says, with everything that's within you, love God. In point of fact, what Jesus said in Matthew 22, verse 37, he was simply echoing in what he said in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 4 and 5, when the Shema, the Jewish Shema, was given, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. And thou shalt love that one God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul. How many of you know Jesus didn't say anything different in the New Testament that wasn't already said in the Old Testament? Jesus then says the second commandment is likened unto it, that thy love your neighbor as yourself. He said that in Matthew 22, verse number 38 and 39. He simply reiterates what he had already given us in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. I preached about it last week, in which God told Moses to tell the people, love your neighbor as yourself. And so the commandment, he says, upon these two great commandments, all of the prophets' teachings can be held. And so therefore, you can summarize the entirety of the Bible by simply saying there is a vertical relationship to God and there is a horizontal relationship to each other, and that we who love God must also say we love each other, because how can you say you love a God that you've never seen and you don't love your brother and sister who you see every day? Said the church, say amen. Because the reality is, is that we who say we love God on Sunday, some of us really treat our brothers and sisters bad on Monday. So how can we sing about, jump around, and shout about? How can we pray to a God? How can we usher folk into the house of worship? How can we lift up our hands in holy praise on Sunday, and yet we're cursing our brother, sister out on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday? At the very least, not treating them the way God expects us to treat them when we're outside of church. Some of us do real well with each other in church sometimes. Even in church, we get a little attitudinal. Sister sitting in my seat, brother sitting where I'm supposed to sit. My God, don't you know everything belongs to the Lord? Yeah, you may put a little bit of money towards the bench or the pew or the window or the bench or the, did I say the bench? The bench or the pew? Did I say the bench again? The bench? You may put a little bit of money towards, but it all belongs to the Lord. And so the question of how we treat each other, how we love God. A lot of us, we all do all right with the vertical relationship. We love God. Although some of us are even finicky with God. We love Him when He's doing everything we want Him to do for us. But when somehow God does something we don't think we deserve, or something we don't think He should have done, sometimes we get spiritual amnesia. And yet God is looking for folk who gonna love Him regardless of what He does or doesn't do for you. You love Him because of who He is, not because of what He's done. How many of you know if He doesn't do another thing for you, He's already blessed? Listen now. If He doesn't open up another door, He's already opened up enough. If He hasn't built another bridge, He's already built enough. If He doesn't move another mountain, He's already moved enough. If He doesn't bring another enemy under your feet, He's already done enough. Don't praise Him for what He's done. Praise Him for who He is. So we do all right with the vertical relationship. But even with the vertical relationship, God says, how can you say you love me, but you don't deal with your brother well? You don't deal with your sister well. And so part of loving me is also loving your neighbor. Treat them the way you would want to be treated. If you don't want eyes rolled at you, don't roll eyes at somebody else. If you don't want teeth sucked at, don't suck teeth at somebody. If you don't want knives in your, don't put knives. In other words, if you don't want folk talking about you, don't talk about other folk. It's the golden rule for a reason. You don't want folk, you want something done to you, you ought to then have the thought and the decency to do it to other folk. And yet, Paul picks up this very thing in the scriptures. And one of the more consistent writings that Paul gives us in his writing, one of the most consistent themes that Paul gives us in his writings, is this thing of human to human relationships. How we treat one another, Reverend Bowdy, how we treat one another, Brother Sister Herndon, how we treat one another, Geneva, how we treat one another, Sister Barnes, how we treat one another, Deacon Poole, Deacon Harris, Deacon Mayo, how we treat one another, Brother Norwood, Sister Latilla, how we treat one another, Sister Deborah, Brother David, how we treat one another, Sister Cheryl, Sister Holmes, how we treat one another, Brother Skip, Sister Monifa, how we treat one another matters. It matters because it makes a statement about your relationship with God. If folk are looking at you, say you love a good God, but you treat your brother negatively or your sister downwardly, what kind of God are you serving? Paul picks up this theme in the scriptures. He writes about this theme often, whether it's to the Christians in Corinth in 1st and 2nd Corinthians, or to the Christians in Ephesus in the book of Ephesians, or the Christians in Galatia in the book of Galatia, or the Christians in Thessalonica in the book of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, or the Christians in Rome in the book of Romans. Paul's writings are consistent. You love God and love your neighbor. And so some of the stuff that he writes about in the books are all about petty stuff that we do to each other, in which Paul says, I gotta straighten you out because you are wrong by the way you've talked to your brother. You're wrong by the way you're judging your brother. In point of fact, Paul makes the declaration, who are you to judge your brother? Says it right in the text. In this very text, Paul picks up the theme in the book to the letter to the Christians in Rome. Paul, among the many other things that he writes about theology, he writes about Christology, he writes about missiology, he writes about ecclesiology, he writes about all these other things, but this is the thing that he writes about, our human relationships with one another. And Paul says, who are you to judge your brother or your sister? Three words I want to pick up on in this sermon today, because I think it has a lot to do with the memory of the late Reverend Dr. King as we enter into a weekend of remembrance of him. But King said no more than what God had given him to say. And so I want to talk about what Paul writes about judging. I want to talk about what Paul writes about accountability to God. And thirdly, I want to write about what Paul writes about in terms of not blocking your brother or your sister. Look how many times he mentions the word judge or not to judge in this text. In these first 13 verses of chapter number 14, he says in verse number 3, he says, let not him who eats despise him who does not eat. And let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. He mentions the word judge again as you go over it later into the text. He picks it up. He says in verse number 10, but why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Paul picks up this theme about judging, and he writes about it very particularly and very intentionally and very deliberately. He says, the point of fact, in verse number 1, he says there's some things that fall into the category of doubtful things. Look at the text. He says in verse number 1 of 14, receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to dispute over doubtful things. Somebody say doubtful things. Things are doubtful or stuck where you may have an opinion, but there is no defined reality as to what the answer is going to be, because God alone knows the answer. Come on, somebody. You may have a thought on what the answer is. You may have an opinion on what the answer is. But Paul says there's some stuff that falls into the category of doubtful things. And I don't even think he means, I just don't know the theology. I think in some cases he simply means this is petty stuff, and stop sweating the small stuff. Some of y'all are getting into disputes, not y'all, but them. Some of them were getting into disputes over petty stuff. Some of them were getting into disputes over doubtful things. Some of them were getting into arguments over things that does not matter. He says eating is one of the things. He says if y'all were to judge each other on who eats what and who doesn't eat what, then all of y'all would have some problems. Because he was speaking to Jewish Christians, or he was speaking to Gentile Christians. Remember now, in Rome, these were not predominantly Jewish Christians. These were Gentile Christians, folk who did not know anything about the Mosaic law. So in the book of Leviticus, you get what's called the Levitical dietary laws. There's certain foods you're not supposed to eat. And one of those foods is do not eat the meat of two-hoofed animals. Well, if that were the case, a lot of us would not have pork ribs on a constant basis. Do not eat fish to have no scales on them. If that was the case, some of us would be a sad day. You gotta lay down all your catfish. He says, do not eat the scavengers of the sea. If that was the case, some of y'all need to hang up your Red Lobster card and give up all your sea admirable feast, sea fest festival, whatever you eat. Because shrimp and lobster and crab would not be on the menu. That's a sad day for me. I like Red Lobster. But if we were to judge folk on the dietary laws, he says right in verse 2-3, how can you judge if one eats? It's one thing. If one does not eat, he's judging the other one who does not eat. Paul puts this into the category of doubtful things, because he says, well, whether you eat or you don't eat, he says, for God has received him. Aren't you glad that some folk may have an opinion, but they don't have a heaven or hell to put you in? Aren't you glad that some folk may have an opinion about what you eat, how you live, where you go, what you do? But aren't you glad they don't have in the message. Aren't you glad that your neighbor isn't your final judge? Aren't you glad that God alone is going to be the one to judge you? Aren't you glad that your entry into heaven isn't based upon the person sitting next to you? Aren't you glad? Come on, somebody. Paul says, whether you eat or don't eat, ultimately, it belongs to the Lord. Paul puts another category into this issue. He says in verse number 6 and 7, he says, he who observes the day observes it to the Lord. And he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats and eats to the Lord, for he who gives thanks, and he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and give God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us die to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, we, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Come on, somebody. I think Paul is putting this thing into perspective. There are some things we get all in a bunch about. There are some things we get all out of sorts about. There are some things we get all messed up about. There's some situations we get all discombobulated about. There's some things we get all torn apart about. There's some issues we get all scattered about. But you need to understand, at the end of the day, you are not the one to judge. You are not the one to put a value statement on somebody else's life. But at the end of the day, whether you do it to me or not, you're still doing it unto the Lord. And God's going to have the final answer. He says, Sabbath day, for example, whether you worship on a Sunday or somebody else worship on a Saturday, I don't think that's going to keep me out of heaven. But what matters most is that you worship. Whether you worship him on a Sunday, or whether you worship him on a Monday, what matters is that you worship him, and that you worship him in spirit and in truth. I'd rather worship on a Wednesday night, but with some folk who know how to give up God some praise and some glory, than a bunch of fake folk on a Sunday morning, who are only concerned about what you got on the outside, who are only concerned about what you drove up in the parking lot, who are only concerned about who you're sitting next to. Give me some real worshipers. Give me some real praisers. Give me some folk who don't mind getting their mascara a little dirty. Don't mind their wig getting a little bit off. Don't mind getting their weave a little sweated out. Because you're giving God the praise. You're giving God the glory. You're giving God the honor. Come on, somebody. It doesn't take all that to give God praise. And stop worrying about what other folks think about you. For you're not worshiping for them. You're worshiping for the Lord. Stop worrying about what they say about you. Stop worrying about what they think about you. Your praise belongs to the Lord. Paul says, whether you pray on a Saturday, whether I pray on a Sunday, it still belongs to the Lord. He puts this into the category of doubtful things, says Irene, doubtful things. Causes for dispute that don't need any attention. Petty stuff. Stuff we need to let roll off our backs. Stuff we need not give attention to. How many of you know if you don't feed something, it doesn't grow? How many of you know if you don't give attention to it, it won't grow? There's some stuff you just need to ignore. There's some folk you need to just put to the side. There's some situations you not give any response. That doesn't even deserve my response. Come on, somebody. Paul says, it falls into the category of doubtful things. Why are you judging each other? Look at what the Bible says in verse number 11, 10. Why do you judge your brother? Why do you show contempt? See, some folk even go beyond judging. They show contempt. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat. Which brings me to my second point of account and accountability. See, we're not to judge because we only have one judge to answer to. And that's God our Father. And Paul quotes in the book of Isaiah chapter 45 verse number 23, put up verse 11. For he says, it is written in the book of Isaiah. He doesn't say in the book of Isaiah, but it is written in the book of Isaiah. As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to me. Y'all thought that was only in the book of Philippians. But let me say again, Jesus doesn't say anything in the New Testament that's not already written in the Old Testament. Isaiah says that God said that every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. Listen, whether you do it unto the Lord or not, you still gonna have to stand before the judgment seat of God and give an account for how you lived your life. I hate to help somebody, I have to remind somebody, but you're not going to be able to slide into heaven on the prayers of your grandmama, on the prayers of your granddaddy. You need to know the Lord for yourself. I know it means a lot to have a praying mama. How many of y'all had a praying mama? How many of y'all still have a praying mama? You ought to give God some praise for a praying mama. She knows how to get a prayer through. She knows how to have a little talk with Jesus and tell him all about her trouble. But how many of you know she can pray for you, but she can't pray you into heaven? How many of you have a praying granddaddy? He sure knows how to sing a prayer. He sure knows know how to get a prayer. He sure knows know how to send up some timber. But as much timber as he sends up, he cannot pray you into heaven. You've got to have your own relationship with God, because you are going to have to stand before the judgment seat and give an account for how you have lived your life. You're not going to be able to say what they made me do, because God's going to say they're not standing here, you're standing here. You're not going to be able to say the devil's not here right now, you're standing here. You're not going to be able to say they looked at me for, no, I don't care how they looked at you, how did you respond? You're going to say they did me wrong. God's going to say, so what? How did you respond? They stabbed me in the back, they stabbed Jesus, they talked about me, they talked about Jesus, they crucified me, God. No, they crucified Jesus. What is your excuse? Stop making excuses. You're going to have to stand for the judgment seat for yourself. A lot of us are good at making excuses. Everybody else is at fault except you. Everybody else did something to you. Woe is me, woe is me. Everybody loves a pity party. But I made up in my, I'm 45 years old. I stopped going to pity parties a long time ago. Pity parties have nothing to offer me. I want to go to a joy party. I want to go to a praise party. I want to go to a love feast. I want to go to somewhere where they know how to not talk about people, but they know how to praise the Lord. I want to go to somewhere where folks know how to get a praise through the morning. Praise them in the morning. Praise them in the noonday. Praise them in the evening. Come on, somebody. Too many of us are hanging around folk who want to invite you explicitly and especially cordially invited to my pity party. And some of y'all need to stop going to other folks' pity parties. Say amen. Because if you say you believe in God, you ought to bring something positive to the party. If you say you believe in Jesus, why is your head bent down low? If you say you believe in Jesus, you ought to lift up your heads, all ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, for the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? I'm glad you asked. The Lord, strong and mighty, he is the King of glory. Does anybody know him? Does anybody have a relationship with him? Has anybody been touched by him? The Lord, he is the King of glory. Pick up your head. Stop walking around here like you don't know who you are and whose you are. Start reminding yourself, you are more than a conqueror. I know what they said about you, but you're more than a conqueror. I know what they did to you, but you're more than a conqueror. My God, my God. God says, Paul says, you will have to give an account how you've lived your life. And because of that, I conclude with this last point. To not be a block for somebody else. Stop judging folk. Start sweeping around your own front door. I got enough just to worry about Daryl LaRue Armstrong than to worry about everybody else's situation. But because I've been called to be a pastor, that then gives me some license to step into the sacred space of somebody's stuff without judging them, but trying to remind them of the fact that we serve a great God. But the rest of y'all, stay out of folks' Kool-Aid. Stay out of folks' business. Stay out of folks' situations. Stay out of folks' bedrooms. Stay out of folks' job. Come on, somebody. And what did grandmama say? If you can't help me, don't hurt me. You got nothing good to say about me? Don't say anything at all. Paul concludes in verse number 13. Therefore, that's a summative statement, concluding everything that I said before. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this in your heart, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in your brother's way. My God. Because so many of us major in the minor stuff and minor in the major stuff. So many of us focus on the little stuff and miss the big stuff. So many of us focus on the devil and not give enough attention to God. So many of us focus on who's not here as opposed to who is here. So many of us focus on what they're not doing as opposed to what you should be doing. You're not getting the message, are you? Paul says, stop putting a stumbling block in front of your brother's way. If you don't know, I know there's some people who are called blessing blockers. If they can't sing the song, nobody else gonna sing the song. If they can't lead the solo, nobody else gonna lead the solo. If they can't pray the prayer, nobody else gonna pray the prayer. If they can't stand on the door, we gonna shut the whole door down. But I just stop by to remind somebody. I know I'm not talking to anybody up in here, but I just stop by to remind somebody. One person doesn't stop God's program. If you don't wanna do it, sit down. God will raise somebody else up to get the job done. If you don't want to preach the sermon, sit down. God will raise somebody else up to preach. If you don't want to sing the song, sit down. God will raise somebody else up to sing the. If you don't want to dance the dance, sit down. God will raise somebody else up. Somebody say, God is still on the throne. Hey, somebody, if you don't want to do it, stop blocking other folk. You don't know like I know what he's done for me. But some of y'all want to stop my praise. But when you know that you know, that you know, that you know, that the Lord opened the door, that the Lord moved the mountain, that the Lord built
out of prison, that the Lord put food on my table, clothes on my back, a roof over my. When you know that you know that you know that you know that you know, then you don't care what other folk got to say about it, because you're not praising for them, but you're praising for the Lord. Now just stop by to tell somebody, if you can't be a blessing, stop being a blocker. Because God is expecting more from his people. And those of us who have resolved to do what Paul said, you have gotten into a sacred space where if the Lord doesn't do anything else, he's already done enough. And I'm not going to let anybody rob me of my praise. I'm not going to block you, but don't stop me from praising him. I'm not going to knock you down, but don't stop me from giving him glory. I'm not going to kick your backside in, but don't get in my way while I try to praise. Because as long as my eyes are looking up to the hills from whence cometh my help, nobody's going to stand in my way. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to praise him in the morning. I'm going to praise him in the noonday. I'm going to praise him in the evening. I'm going to praise him when the sun goes up. I'm going to praise him when the sun goes down. I'm going to praise him when I'm well. I'm going to praise him when I'm sick. I'm going to praise him when I'm broke. I'm going to praise him when I'm rich. I'm going to praise him when I've got it going on. And I'm going to praise him when I'm broke up from the floor up. You got to learn how to praise the Lord. And don't let anything get in your way. And don't you be a blockade for somebody else. If you can't help them, don't hurt them. If you can't lift them, stop knocking them down. If you can't say anything good, zip your mouth and don't say anything at all. Paul says, resolve this. Don't be a stumbling block for your brother. Now I'm going to pick this up next Sunday. That's all the Lord told me to tell you now. Let the church say amen. Everybody standing to their feet. Everybody standing to their feet. Everybody standing to their feet. Deacons and deaconess clergy, help me extend the invitation. I don't know who was supposed to hear this message, but if it's you, I want you to let the Lord have the Lord's way. It doesn't get any more practical than this. How we coexist with each other in the body of Christ is going to say everything about the God we say we believe in, Sister Marion. And so there is someone here today who's convicted by the word of God. And I want to say to you, God is calling you. Don't get me wrong, God has high standards for us to live up to. He says, be ye holy even as I am holy. But I believe he tacks on to that, ... but let me do the judging. Let me do the judging. So if someone has judged you unfairly, I need you to see that's not God. And it's not godly. You're going to be the one to stand before the judgment seat. So I want to invite someone today, when you stand before God, I want you to say, Lord, I know I wasn't perfect, but I did my best to follow you, to love you, and to love your people. And if that's you, I want you to, if you have not yet made that kind of determination in your spirit, you can do it today.
The Bible says, he who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:9 says, if you profess the Lord with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. The most important invitation I'm going to give you today is that of salvation. Forget about membership in a church. Forget about people who hurt you. God says he wants to heal you and help you. But you got to want it for yourself. And if you're here today, I want you to come on out of your seat and say, Lord, I didn't plan to do this today, but I'm coming. Because I'm going to trust you more than I'm going to trust myself. Look at God today. We got a young man coming up. Look at God today. Grandma, granddad, we got a happy day in the house of the Lord today. To God be the glory. Is there someone else who wishes to make a decision for the Lord? If God is speaking to your heart, I want you to consider this. Look at God. We have someone else coming forward. Bless you, young man. Bless you. Bless you, brother. Bless you.